and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
By the way, Jonathan, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We're in day five of 2018, and wow, the time has gone so quickly.
It has.
We are at Rainer on Leadership, episode number 395, and that's pretty special. Because we have a special guest.
We do.
And you're going to introduce him in just a moment.
I will.
Before we get to that, let's thank our sponsor, Midwestern.
And Midwestern is interested in helping you get to the field faster, and they're serious about training leaders for the church. That's why they've created the all-new Accelerate program. In Midwestern's Accelerate program, students earn both a Bachelor of Arts degree and a Master of Divinity degree in just 5 years of intensive study. That's a BA and an MDiv at the same time. This innovative residential program combines rigorous academic training with practical ministry preparation, resulting in one of the most effective programs around so that you can pursue your ministry calling as soon as possible. That's 2 degrees in 5 years, all in one program, accelerated Midwestern Seminary. Take the next step by visiting mbts.edu/accelerate.
Okay, Jonathan, think about my dominant spiritual gifts.
Ignorance,
introversion, and sarcasm.
Okay.
The top three. Our guest today epitomizes my third spiritual gift.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
A bit of sarcasm. Please introduce. This is going to be a fun podcast.
All right. We have David Regeer joining us today. He's a worship leader and songwriter living in Marietta, California. He is at the First Baptist Church of San Jacinto out there in California. And many of you, if you're on Twitter, you probably know him better as the Church Curmudgeon.
Love the Church Curmudgeon. I love those tweets.
Yes.
In his book, Then Tweets My Soul. You want me to sing it?
No.
Okay.
Please don't.
All right.
David. He's the musician on the podcast.
Oh, but
he writes, he composes, he's the music guy.
Okay. Welcome, David. Glad to have you here.
Good morning. How are you?
What time is it there?
It is 8:07 a.m.
All right. Well, it is a good morning in California, and we're recording this in our Nashville studio, so thanks for being here and being awake, and thanks for your incredible gift of sarcasm. It fills my heart every single day.
Well, hallelujah. It's quite the spiritual gift.
Yes, it is.
Today, we're going to talk about humor in the church, and for many of you, if you're on Twitter, you may know or may have seen the Church Curmudgeon and David's alter ego, if you will. But he really just kind of pokes fun at things. But there's a little bit of, you know, like any good joke, there's a kernel of truth in every good joke. And so we're going to talk a little bit about humor in the church and some observations he's made. So, you know, we'll just get it going.
Well, Jonathan, before you ask him the first question, I want to ask another question.
Right.
How did you get started being the Church Curmudgeon? What's the background
on
that?
This was in the early days of Twitter. People had started coming up with some funny alter egos. There was a contemporary worship leader and a executive pastor and things that were just kind of poking fun. They were personas, fake personas, that would poke fun at things about the church. And I thought, well, why not that old guy sitting at the back of the church who complains about absolutely everything?
Yeah.
So I did it, and for some reason, it struck a chord.
So you went on Twitter, would that be around 2008, 2009?
It was 2011 when I started, no, 2010 when I started the account.
Okay, still fairly early days of,
yes. It's
certainly on the early curve of Twitter. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you got a book deal out of it. How many people have gotten a book deal out of their tweets?
Yeah, that's true.
Which just published their tweets.
Yes.
Was there any loopholes about that? Did they say that, did you have to get anything cleared by Twitter to be able to publish those?
No. It is essentially public domain, and so they just allowed me to go ahead and do everything that I needed to do
All right.
with it.
Okay. Well, there we go. So what's so funny about church?
Well, the church is made up of people, and if you haven't noticed, people are funny. Even when they don't try to be. There are just a lot of funny things that people do, and I grew up in the church. As a matter of fact, when I open a box of Cheerios, my mind can picture the nursery at Garden Park Church where I grew up, because that's what I smelled when I would go into that nursery. I knew I was going to get some Cheerios.
Regular or Honey Nut?
Oh, they didn't have Honey Nut back then.
Yeah, now with nut allergies, boy, you'd be thrown out of the place if you try that.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Yeah. Can you imagine the Church Curmudgeon as a baby? where?
Long.
Get over here.
Oh, boy. But you mentioned those church traditions, and that's kind of the base for a lot of your jokes. And you know, poking fun at things at the church that that a lot of people really put a little bit too much stock in and others somewhat mock, but we all kind of know?
Yeah, well, as I've grown up in the church and been to churches, I've been to contemporary churches, I've been to traditional churches, but there are some things that you can pretty much count on if you're going to church. You can count on the fact that there's going to be about 47 bottles of mustard in the church fridge going back about 47 potlucks ago. You can actually kind of chart the church's history through mustard bottles.
And with expiration dates that have their own historical significance.
Exactly.
What are some of those church traditions that have gotten a lot of retweets for you?
There's always something about the organists. There's always something about, the deacons' meetings. Mm. My goodness, the church business meetings and the deacons. And you know that the deacon board can be, like my cup of coffee this morning, weak and bitter.
Oh, a lot of the other jokes that I've seen really popular, your take on modern church, some of the changes that have been introduced into the church, especially in the worship area.
Well, when I started in music ministry, I started young, and so I got to go through many of the fads that went along with that. And fortunately, I grew up before the era of skinny jeans, so I never had to do the...
Miss
the,
that
the,
too. I am so thankful.
So are
because,
we.
Oh, because me too. If I had not missed it, I would have missed it.
Yes.
Yes.
Let's just say that era was never a fit for me.
Exactly. I've been through the whole thing where they talk about the 7-11 choruses and how you repeat over and over and over again the chorus. And,
yes.
So I've been through all of that, and it's still funny. But when I think about the worship leaders in the modern church, there's a lot of things that people try to do that they shouldn't even be trying.
Such as?
It's stuff that they don't, it doesn't reflect who they are as a church. They're just trying too hard.
So have you gotten on the smoke yet in the modern worship service?
Oh my goodness, yeah. It's,
smoke, fog, whatever you want to call it.
The fog machines are hilarious because you know that the Holy Spirit does not show up until the fog machine is lit.
There you go. I was wondering if you had crossed that path at some point. Before we keep on going on these questions, how often do you tweet per day?
It really depends, but usually...
By the way, that's usually the favorite answer of Rainer on Leadership podcast when we take
it
questions.
Depends.
It depends. Yes.
That's right. Usually 4 or 5 times a day, I'll tweet. I started out just doing once a day, and then as it picked up, there was just more observational humor to go in along with it.
How many followers are there?
Just crossed over 97,000.
That's a huge following.
Headed up to 100,000. That's crazy.
That is a huge following. That
it's crazy.
Yes, it is. Does anybody ever get mad at you?
Oh, yeah.
Do people not understand that it's kind of a joke and there's a little bit of something in every joke? They think they just take it for real?
There are some things that you joke about and people think that it's blasphemy. There are certain hymns that you can't change the words to make a joke because they think that that is a sacred hymn and God wrote it.
Mm. And so when you do something with it, they can get ticked at you.
Even the title of my book, Then Tweets My Soul, made a couple of people mad.
Really?
Yes.
It's a pun. I mean, they're, you know,
kind of. Yes, I know. I have an aunt who was a little upset about some of those things.
Oh, boy. So David, is denominational life funny to you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I have followers from all kinds of different denominations, and the thing is that they all have the same experiences, the Methodists and the Baptists and the Lutherans and everybody. But, of course, I think Baptists are particularly funny because I am one.
Yes. Yes, we are.
We think that as well.
And we're all trying to time our services so that we can get to the Golden Corral on time before the Lutherans do.
The Gristle is just some of the best I've ever eaten there.
And you mentioned hymns. You write a lot of hymns.
Yes.
You talk a lot about hymns. What and I guess as a music minister growing up in more traditional settings, what are the hymns? What do they stand out? Why do they stand out to you as a music guy?
For me, what I find is that hymns are something that people hold on to through their lives. The hymns that you grew up singing, you hold on to them through your whole life, and you remember them. They speak to you. When I wake up in the middle of the night and my heart is troubled about something, I can sing, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and it speaks to my heart. And I know that that's true for a lot of people.
That is good. Talk to us about your most popular tweets, David. What are some of those that have gotten the most traffic, the most retweets? You've been at it now for you're going into your eighth year of the church
yes.
curmudgeon. What are some of the ones that have really gotten traction?
Well, I just had one about the football season, saying that you ought not to be able to call your church First Baptist if you've lost to an unranked church.
I like that.
I like that too.
Yeah, like Iowa. Wait, yeah. No, they were ranked. Never mind.
Yes.
A little joking in there.
Yeah, and you know, and by the way, we're going into this is the season of the college playoffs here in January.
And yes.
I don't know if you know my college football allegiance.
I think I've heard about it.
I'm an Alabama fan, but I'm a discontent Alabama fan because I would rather go 1-11 than 11-1 if that one is Auburn. And we lost this year. We lost this year. And my team made it to playoffs, but I just wish they weren't there. They've lost the game that mattered. Boy, I'll probably get some feedback on this, don't you think,
Joe? Yeah, probably so.
Okay.
Well, but guess who's in the college playoff and who isn't?
Well,
Alabama is, and Auburn isn't.
I know, but I'd trade places.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd rather win the Iron Bowl than be in the playoff.
Well,
that's just the way I am. I'm sorry. I'm a very sick person on that. I want to go back to your real world right now. You're serving in a local church. You're the worship leader, and you're also the church curmudgeon. How do those two things intersect in your local church, or do you even discuss it, or do you come into church and people say, "I saw that tweet, you jerk," or "I saw that tweet, and I really liked it"? Talk to us about what your church is saying about the church curmudgeon.
My church, outside of a few people on the staff and a couple of our deacons, isn't really big on Twitter, and so the people that know are very loving and understanding and enjoy it a whole lot. Those that don't know, I don't advertise it too much too, because then I'd start losing my material.
Wow. Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Hey, let me just share this little anecdote as kind of a side thing. I attend my son's church. It's about a year and a half old church plant south of Nashville called the Church at Spring Hill. And so I am a part of that church, and I absolutely love it because a couple of things have happened. Number one, I have made a commitment that I'm going to be in church most of the time. So I have stopped, for the most part, accepting weekend invitations so I can be a church member. I mean, I have this real passionate thing that, well, I am a church member, so I want to be a church member. But what I love about it is I'll go there. I was talking to someone 3 weeks ago. 3 weeks ago last Sunday, and somehow the subject of Lifeway got on, and they said, "Have you ever heard of Lifeway?"
Wow.
And I'm thinking, yeah, I have.
It's come up.
Yes, yes. But I absolutely love that, because I'm the only claim to fame I have at his church for most of the people is I'm Jess's dad.
Jess's dad, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Jess's dad.
Wow.
Or some people would say I'm Nellie Joe's husband, one yeah. of the two. Or that I'm Cannon and Harper and Collins'
grandfather.
Red. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like the anonymity that comes there, because I can just be a regular me. But the thing about it is, I would be a regular me. As a church curmudgeon, David, what are you seeing? Or what is it that is giving you material? What is it that you're seeing in the change of the church? What are you seeing taking place in the life of the church that, yeah, is giving you material, but may actually be some fodder, some real meat for us to take away with this podcast? What are some of the changes you're seeing that may be cautions or that may be celebrations? You've been around in ministry for quite a while, and even though you have your sarcastic church curmudgeon, tell us what you're seeing.
What I see is, and one of the things that I have appreciated, is a movement towards more congregational singing. And involving the congregation. And I have appreciated what Mike Harland over there at Lifeway has encouraged in that it's not a performance. Worship is not a spectator sport. It's something that we are all involved in. And so we need to be singing congregations.
Yes. The Gettys have helped that cause
yeah.
a lot too.
Yes. I have appreciated all that they have done as well. And, I am blessed to be part of a singing congregation. Our singing is robust.
That's good.
I love that.
That's good.
Now, what would you tell other music ministers that may not have that? Like maybe just some encouragement to them about how it can become robust?
For me, one of the things that's tremendously important is it's possible to keep things fresh without having to do always the newest thing. Mm. You have to let your congregations grasp hold of a song and do it enough so that they know it, that they own it. That's one thing that I encourage. And then, once again, just mining the deep riches that we have in hymns. There are a lot of good ones out there.
There are.
What are some of your favorite hymns and why?
I love Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing is probably one of my very top ones, just because it is a reminder that, you know, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. But Lord, grab hold of me.
Hmm.
That's probably one of my very favorite hymns.
So, David, as both the church curmudgeon and as David, share with us, as we're getting ready to close this podcast, share with us some things that would be good advice and counsel for church leaders in general, just as they lead these imperfect congregations. Share with us some things that either the church curmudgeon or David or both would say to those of us who serve in local churches.
Well, one of the things as I became the church curmudgeon, that I came to realize, one of the best pieces of advice is to get to know the church curmudgeons in your church and spend time with them.
That's good.
Because they have a whole lot of life experience, and sometimes they're grumbling for a good reason, sometimes they're grumbling for a bad reason, but they are whole people.
That's good.
And there is just a lot of wisdom.
Well, David, we are very grateful for you. We're very grateful for the church curmudgeon. Once again, look in the show notes for his book.
Yep. Then Tweets My Soul.
Then Tweets My Soul. And also for his handle at Church Curmudgeon. And
yep.
You'll see.
Know you in church on that.
Yeah. Well, it's
Church Curmudgeon.
Yeah. It's in the show notes.
Yep.
And you can see that there. So thank you, David, for your time. Thank you for your ministry. And thank you for your gift of humor, because it goes a long way with many of us.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Vander Blumen Search Group, for being our founding sponsor.
Vander Blumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. I saw him make a Vander Blumen Search Group joke the other day.
Really? Really?
Yeah, something about searching or something, and he dropped them.
We had a church mouse. We had a mouse living in the church, and he had come into my office, and we got him. We got him with the trap. I just made note that the church mice had found a replacement very quickly, and they must have used Vander Blumen Search Group.
It was even on brand. It's perfect.
That's great.
That's it.
We love the folks at Vander Blumen. We love all of you listeners, and we thank you for being with us. And as we continue into 2018, I hope you have a great year.
Thanks again for joining us here today on Rain or on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.